tweet at TodaySOR.
I see in breaking business news from across the water, but it might have implications here as well. The department store chain Debenhams is on the brink of collapse after bosses confirmed it's filed a notice of intent to appoint administrators affecting around 22,000 workers. Now, back here, the HSE is planning to establish some 40 coronavirus assessment hubs around the country to assess suspected cases and then to free up clinics for other patients. For more about how these hubs will work, I'm joined by Dr. Mary Favier, Vice President of the Irish College of GPs. Thanks indeed for joining us, Dr. Favier. Just explain to us how these coronavirus assessment hubs will work and specifically what patients should be going there.
Small correction, I'm president of the ICGP, but the Irish College of GPs, so that's fine. So how it's going to work is, this is a HSE initiative that's going to add another layer of triage or another layer of assessment between general practitioners and hospital emergency departments. And the idea is that where a GP is concerned about a patient, a COVID positive patient, or somebody who's presumed COVID positive patients, and that they're becoming more unwell, particularly with respiratory symptoms being cough, shortness of breath, you know, not able to walk as far, those types of symptoms. And where a GP would normally assess those themselves and physically examine them, these patients will now be referred to what have been called the COVID hubs. And so patients, an electronic referral will be sent, and these patients, you know, have COVID, so they need to be assessed in a protective environment. And the idea is that they will then get seen quickly, appropriately, and a decision made. Do they need to go to hospital? Can they be supported in the community? And then it allows general practitioners continue to do the daily work. Because one of the concerns we have is that as what's called the surge comes, if there's more of these respiratory cases, it brings potentially more COVID infection into general practice, but we still need to see all the other patients because other illness goes on and we don't want to miss that.
And where will these hubs be, Mary? Will they be separate, for instance, from the test centres that have been set up around the place?
They will be separate, but some of them are in the same location generally. So there's one, for instance, in St. Mary's Orthopaedic in the Primary Care Centre in Cork, but that's a big campus. It's another part of the campus. They're generally going to be in primary care centres dotted around the country. They will be staffed by administration staff, nursing staff with clinical, you know, infection control hats on, and they'll be staffed by general practitioners. And patients will be given a time by both text and be telephoned. The GP will be told also of that time, and the patient will arrive, you know, to the centre, be telephoned, and a lot of the initial workup, administration and even clinical will be done over the phone, so that the patient then comes, is escorted into the building and spends the least amount of time in there. In terms of, you know, providing a risk to the staff who work in there and anybody else who might be in there as a patient.
So you don't just show up, you get an appointment as a result of a conversation over the phone or electronically with your GP. But is this for people who it's assumed have, or at least it's thought they may well have COVID-19 because of symptoms, or is that they will already have been known to have it?
Yes, so you consult with your general practitioner over the phone as per normal. You just have a discussion with him or her about your symptoms. In some cases, the GP will know already that you're COVID positive or have symptoms suggestive of COVID because they will have referred you for testing or discussed whether you fit the criteria for testing. In some cases, there will be new symptoms. The patient will be presenting for the first time with respiratory symptoms, or be known to have COVID and have other things that might need to be sorted out with on an urgent basis. And the GP then will fill in this electronic referral. It'll get sent centrally, and an immediate response will come with an appointment time.
And is it possible somebody would be given two referrals, one for the consultation at the GP hub and another for a test?
Potentially, yes. If it's a first presentation, that could be the case. The testing won't take place in the hubs. That's not considered appropriate for those hubs. But for instance, in the Cork one, it's co-located. However, the processing of a test request is done in a separate stream, so they're unlikely to take place at the same time.
Yeah, but I mean, if we'll say somebody goes to the hub and the assessment there is, yeah, look, this person in all likelihood has it, wouldn't it make sense sense for them to go across the campus and get the test, you know, as part of the same experience?
On the presumption that there is a co-location, yes, you could see the argument for that. They are two different processes and they are two different criteria for why you qualify to have a test in terms of, are you in an at-risk category, are you a healthcare worker, do you have other illnesses in your family home? And that would be a small number of the hubs would have that scenario. For the vast majority of patients, this is going to be a clinical assessment and it will be based on you're either a proven COVID positive or you're going to be presumed COVID positive. And for GPs, we now assess anybody with respiratory symptoms as presumed COVID positive, as should the community. Because if you've got any cough, cold, flu type symptoms, you should just imagine that you have it, you don't want to spread it, and you undertake self-isolation and do all the appropriate hand hygiene measures that have been widely discussed.
So how then will the staffing arrangements be put in place? You say they're basically primary care centres that will be now used exclusively for this purpose. Is that right?
Many of these are going to be reconditioned, repurposed buildings, and they're appropriately designed for this type of work where you can have a reliable and consistent, secure flow of patients in. Patients will be escorted in. They'll be given a designated room. Everything will be considered high risk in terms of COVID positive. There'll be a minimal amount of actually direct patient contact to keep everybody safe. There's a very good IT system has been put in place. And I have to say, you know, it'll be general practitioners providing with nurses providing the clinical care, but the support the HSC staff have given to get these up and running in such a short period of time. We did a walkthrough of the Cork one yesterday and the IT staff were there and all the electronic pathways are in place and it's a credit to them.
Right, so that's operating already, is it?
It's good to go in terms of the structure and the pathways. Training is going to be up and running this week because obviously all GPs need to be appropriately trained before they can start work there, as applies to the nursing and admin staff too. And as soon as that's completed, we're looking at a late week opening or early next week.
So how then will they be staffed? How many GPs are likely to be assigned to each one of these hubs?
It will very much depend on the workload. The minimum staffing that's planned at the moment is that there will be two general practitioners working at any time. They will be either 4 or 8 hour shifts. These things are all to be decided, and some shifts will be consecutive depending on the doctor and what suits them in terms of their own practice arrangements. Because you've got to remember that GPs need to run their ordinary practices as well, so staff will need to come out of GP surgeries to staff these hubs. But that's thought to be a good thing to do because it allows the rest of general practice to get back to work. There's increasing concerns last week and the week before, but particularly last week, that there's illness out there in the community that's being not seen as being neglected effectively. And we understand that patients are fantastically supportive, that they don't want to bother us because we are under pressure and we're busy. But we're asking them, please do. We'd really prefer to hear about it. We talk to you on the telephone before we decide whether you need to be seen. But it's better that you tell us about whether it's the funny pain you're getting in the chest that you might think is indigestion, or the pain down your leg, or the tummy pain, or the rash. We do need to hear these things.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I think it reflects what Dr. Tony Holohan was saying after he emerged from his tests in St. James's Hospital in the middle of last week, that we should remember that, you know, the health service is there for more than COVID-19.
Indeed. So, for instance, when somebody becomes a diabetic, we put a lot of emphasis into the care of their feet because the feeling in your feet as a diabetic often isn't as good, so you can injure your feet easily and your feet can get infected and they don't heal as well. And the risk about a diabetic foot in terms of it gets a little cut or a nick is that it can proceed, if not cared for properly, to an ulcer and then gangrene and potential amputations. And I don't mean to be, you know, dramatic, but we need to see those diabetic feet at the very early stage because they can be very effectively treated, and we should really try and avoid any of these bad outcomes in all scenarios. Our concern is, where have the diabetic feet gone? We're not seeing those ulcers and those sore feet. And so they're still there, obviously. So we're asking people, if you've got concerns, make sure you come. And it applies to all different types of illnesses.
Finally, do you have a commitment and an expectation and an assurance that sufficient personal protective equipment will be available to people working in these community hubs?
We do. We've got a commitment that the personal protective equipment will be there, first of all, for training, which is vital, and then on any given day when the service runs. And, of course, the reality is the service can't run without personal protective equipment, and it just isn't going to be feasible. So, yes, I think the minimum requirement is that everybody has protective equipment, and that will happen. We've been reassured of that.
OK, we'll leave it there. My thanks to you, Dr. Mary Favier, President of the Irish College of GPs. Thank you.